Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
What is happening? You went Jerry Seinfeld on me there? What is the deal with sports?
I would say it's rivalry half week, am I right?
I see what you did there. Doing bits.
Blah, blah,
love it.
Blah, 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 blah. I wanna work on my laugh.
Like your fake laugh or
yeah.
like a
radio fake laugh. You just hear it all the time on sports, and I just feel like we're lacking that here.
That's true.
You know?
I want the I kind of sound like you were doing Chris Burn. Who had that on the bingo card today?
Well, anyway. Yeah, we got a short week.
So we'll give you our best for the next 3 days.
Sure.
As far as you know, 2.5. Maybe.
2.5? No, we got 3 days.
No, I'm saying, are you going to get our best for 2.5? Maybe 1.25? How checked out are you going to be come Wednesday, let alone Tuesday? You're not checked out?
No, I love this time of year. My Jayhawks already won today.
Rock chalk.
You know, it's a good time of year. There's a lot of sports going on.
There is a lot of sports going on. It was a fun little sports weekend.
And I love sports.
Yeah, like we didn't think much of the NFL slate. Turned out to be a good slate. College
good
football.
Good little slate. College is a little weak.
It's all right.
You know. But the Ducks won, so that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the least surprising result. I don't know why. Like, I just had no... At no point going into that game, at no point in that game, did I think USC... Even when it was a 7-point game, I just... It was one of those games you're like, eh, USC's not winning this
USC
thing.
USC is most definitely still USC.
Yes, if you were wondering.
Hey,
still USC.
I'm going to call for the ball here.
Go for it.
If I may, because I saw something just moments ago out on the streets of Portland.
Oh, that's always fun.
Seen and heard in Portland.
Yeah.
You know, we like to do a segment called Seen and Heard.
Seen and Heard. And we had one going on last week, I think you were going to... Is this the same thing or is this different?
Oh, yeah. No, we never got to that. Yeah.
No.
I've got a hot observation from Tent Town next door. And I want to.
Tent Town? The one under the bridge?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
What'd you think I was talking about?
Well, there's
the
like,
other one on the other side?
Yeah, the other side. Because there's like.
The other one on the north side?
Well, there's one right to. Would that be north?
Or
no,
the
that
other
would
one
be.
On the south side?
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty much surrounded. You know that, right?
No, the west side of us is the main tent city under the bridge.
Yeah.
But if you go south of us, there's another, it's like a construction zone that there's a fence up and the tent folks have kind of taken that over. So I didn't know which one you're referring to.
They have troops everywhere. Okay.
It's kind of impressive.
The troops are everywhere. Yeah. It's you never know. It's like it's like landmines all over the place.
Yes.
You just never know. Yeah. When you turn a corner, what you're going to run into around here.
Yeah.
Today, and this has nothing to do with Tent Town,
mm-hmm.
But maybe it does. I don't know. But I was driving right over here, coming into the big show.
Yeah, the really big show.
And I was driving in my car.
Mm-hmm. Your Subaru Outback, tasty ride, by the way.
I was right over there by the mill.
The mill?
The mail. UPS.
Oh, I thought you said the mill. I'm like, what?
Is that USPS?
Did Bob's Red Mill come back over here?
Some lady, by the way, right in the middle of the street was trying to flag down the mail guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like right out of the window of her car.
Yeah.
So it like, stopped traffic. Yeah, because she saw the mail, the big mail carrier truck.
Sure.
Coming the other way.
Yeah.
And so she stops and reaches out her hand, reaches her piece of mail that she wants to mail the window and waves it at the mail guy.
You know what? That's kind of an efficient use.
And the mail guy, I think what he said was just.
Yeah, move on.
He pointed over to the actual
mailbox.
Not the box, but the store.
Yeah.
Whatever's right over.
I don't know. Now I'm not familiar with the postal the code.
I think the
code of ethics. Can he take
I mail? Wanna say that he came around and took it from her. Because he just needed to keep going down the street and circle back around.
That's like a real Pony Express sort of thing. Like you would just like hold up the mail and then he would come run by and snatch it.
Pretty nice of him to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than putting it in the mailbox that's guaranteed to get it stolen.
Well, it would be very easy for him to just be like, you missed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't be bothered. Meh.
And I believe that is the exact quote. Meh.
But I thought it was pretty ballsy for this lady to just stop traffic. I was like three cars behind her, and we had to wait for her to talk to the guy about her package that no one cares about.
It does seem a bit selfish.
So anyway, that gets resolved, or whatever happened there happens, and she gets out of the way, and I keep driving, and I see an iPhone right in the middle of the street.
Random street phone?
Yeah, just an iPhone. Just laying in the... It had a case on it. It was clearly a phone. It was like right on the yellow line, right in the middle of the street.
That does not seem like a safe place for an iPhone.
So somebody, you know, was crossing the street and probably dropped their phone.
Okay,
well, I, of course, swerved to avoid the phone. I don't want to run over the phone. It's someone's phone.
Sure.
The guy behind me went out of his way to run over the phone.
Now, I'm going to need further evidence. How do we know he went out? Now, did he swerve into it?
Well, the reason I say he went out of his way is because he had to swerve to hit the yellow line. Like, he was not... Nobody was driving on the yellow line. The phone was right on the middle line.
Sure.
And he just drove right over it.
Huh.
And I was watching to see if he would see it. And it's possible that he didn't see it.
It's possible.
But
it sure felt like there was a swerve to hit the phone.
Well, he definitely slid a little to the left to hit the phone, but I don't know that that was intentional, but I'm going to go ahead and say it was intentional. Why else would he do it?
Maybe.
This is all I'm asking here.
Yeah.
When there's a phone lying in the street, you don't hit it.
No.
Don't you swerve? Like, that could easily be somebody walking back to go pick it up that accidentally dropped it and it would be fine. Right. You run it over, now they don't have a phone.
I'm going to put a little...
What are we doing?
I'm going to put a fence sit here. Swerving to hit the phone, you're a jerk. Because like you said, now with find a phone, you can come back, find your phone. There's no reason for that. There's no reason to go out of your way. But also, I do not think that you need to swerve or move out of the way, because that's like they tell you should not swerve for like a squirrel, because a lot of times when you swerve to miss the squirrel, you end up causing like a problem. Like you all of a sudden you're like, phone, and then you go. Meanwhile, I'm cruising along in my lane, minding my own business, listening to, I don't know, maybe some Extreme, possibly Creed, I don't know.
More Than Words.
I'm 6 feet from the edge, and I'm in my own fillings. And next thing you know, I'm not paying attention because I'm emotionally connecting to Scott Stapp. You swerve to miss the phone, and now you hit me. And a phone is not worth a head-on collision.
What was the other Extreme song besides More Than Words?
I don't think they
had
one.
Which, by the way, yeah, they did. They had
another. Did they?
Yeah, it was like, I can hear it in my head. It's like...
The Next to Be With You, but that's not Extreme. That's Mr. Big, and I think they often get confused.
Know. Extreme had another song.
All right, let me look. Man,
I went into the sea. Da,
da, da, I love watching.
Right at me. Da, 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 da. I don't know. I can't remember. But they had another hit. Anyway, there was nobody coming the other way.
Yeah. So far, what I'm looking here is More Than Words.
Yeah.
It.
Which, by the way, More Than Words, good tune.
Yes.
It's a good tune.
Same as The Next to Be With You. I feel like if Mr. Big and Extreme had got together, you'd have two hits. Play With Me, Get the Funk Out.
No.
Wholehearted?
Wholehearted. That's the one I'm... Wholehearted. Yeah, that's the one.
I don't know that. Schultze, can you see if you can find us Wholehearted? Because I have no idea what he's talking about.
I think you'd recognize it. Anyway, there was no one coming the other way. I just thought it was kind of a... Look, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He probably didn't see the phone.
Yeah.
But it kind of looked like he saw the phone and he ran over the phone, which I think is awful.
Yeah, it's not... You know, we're in society together. And there's no reason for us to be intentionally damaging expensive things.
Yeah.
Because when you lose a phone or an iPad or a computer, whatever, whatever it is, the piece of technology that you lose, isn't it an amazing feeling when you go back and you find it? It's like, dude, that's like heroin.
Have you ever had one of those?
Yeah.
One of those, like, where it's a miracle that...
And it's in the same spot?
Well, the ping thing, or the find the iPhone thing, works like a charm.
Oh.
Have you ever? I guess you don't have an iPhone.
I do have an iPhone.
Oh, you do now.
But I've never found it.
You've never had to find it?
No, I've never lost it. No,
yeah, okay, so you've never had to use it.
No,
But if you have to use the Find My iPhone app, the problem is you have to know your login to log into somebody else's phone so that it will ping the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do, like we found, I have a buddy who found his, he dropped his walking his dog or something.
Sure.
In Montana in like 6 feet of snow.
Yeah.
Who walks their dog in Montana in 6 feet of snow?
People in Montana.
Apparently this guy. Yeah. Well, he dropped his phone and it pinged. He went right to it and dug it up.
See, like, that's amazing.
And then we did that at Black Butte. A guy, it fell out of the cart at one point and boom, we just drove right to it.
But if
you have to log in to someone else's phone with your login.
And if some dip-ass goes out and like some snowplow driver's like, I see your phone, F you, and now you don't get to do that. The best one of those, now it wasn't a phone, but one of my jiu-jitsu professors was missing his wallet for like 3 days. And we felt bad because he had some cash in there too. He had worked a tournament. So he had like $700-$800 of cash in his wallet and we felt terrible for him. And we were going to like maybe like take up a little collection, you know, one of those sort of things. And he's kind of a forgetful guy. He had put it on top of his car. That's the last time he remembered. He was like kind of getting into the car and he had put it on the roof. And I was like, man, I'm sorry, brother. It had fallen down and it had wedged between the windshield wiper. You know, I don't know what you call that. Like the pit. I don't know, the Sarlacc pit down there.
That's where the rats come up.
The rats. Yeah.
And the snakes.
And it was sitting there and it was sitting there for like 3 days and it had rained on it. It had been soaked, but it was, it was wedged down in there.
That's a good find.
After like 3-4 days. Yeah. And it's just an amazing feeling. You don't go along. You don't break that. So if you're out there swerving, don't be that person.
I think I found it, by the way. I think I found it.
This is the extreme?
Yeah. Happy Monday, by the way. Happy
Monday. Good to see you. Hi, Schultzy. Yeah, this is, you know this one?
Oh, I know this song.
Yeah. This is extreme.
This is extreme. I didn't know this was extreme.
Also a, dare I say, decent jam.
Yeah. I mean, it's not more than words,
it'll
but.
It'll get you to.
Yeah.
Look at Schultzy's. Hi-hatting over there.
It's not bad. Yeah. I mean, I remember this song. I also did not know it was by Extreme.
No. I did not know this was Extreme.
Extreme was awesome because they had super long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like Fabio.
Yeah. That one dude always wore a cowboy hat for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had that real emotional video. It was in black and white like a Dockers commercial.
Okay, so here's the...
Confuse the mind. I would never guess that this was Extreme.
It sounds very different than More Than Words. Very.
And didn't the donkey, I don't know what his name is, I think it's Gary something or other. Remember when Van Halen tried
Sharon.
To make this guy?
Gary Sharon.
Is that,
Yeah.
Van Halen tried to make that guy their lead singer and no one went for it. Like Van Halen thought, like, hey, we replaced David Lee Roth and everyone was fine with it with Sammy Hagar. We'll just go hire the guy from Extreme. And collectively we all said, no. We let you do it once. Not doing it
that
again.
That rarely works.
No, it almost never works.
Yeah, but it has worked.
Well, if you die, like Bon Scott, but he died.
Well,
David Lee Roth was just an ass, and they replaced him, and Van Hagar is still greatness.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, just the new lead singer, whom we already know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think the Queen did that with, what's his nuts?
Well, Queen, they got Adam.
No, before Adam.
Before Adam.
Adam.
Oh, they got the guy from Bad Company.
Yeah,
that guy. Paul Rogers, I think.
Yeah, Paul Rogers, that's right.
He was really good.
And he wasn't bad. Yeah, it was like.
Yeah.
But it kind of didn't work.
I know, it was weird.
But then they brought in this Adam guy. I always want to call him Adam Levine, but it's not.
It's Adam Lambert.
Lambert, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good.
The best.
Yeah. I think the key is you've got to not be associated with something else.
Yeah.
I know he was an American Idol guy, but he didn't. I mean, like, Paul Rogers is Bad Company, so we can't.
Yeah.
We can't bridge that gap from Bad Company to Queen. We can't do that.
And when they would play, because I saw. That I saw Queen with him multiple times. It was a really good show, and I don't know if this was necessarily a good thing, but they would start the show by playing like 6 Bad Company songs, and you're like, "This is awesome," because Bad Company's got great songs, right? Like Paul Rodgers is amazing, but then you're like, well, I'm at a Bad Company show, and then it's the same band, and then they go into Queen, and it's a little weird. Like, I want to hear Shooting Star as much as the next guy, but it kind of blends, it blurs the line between Bad Company and Queen. It's a little weird. My favorite thing, though, is when they hired Adam Lambert. A bunch of people got pissed. The whole, DEI stuff where everyone got all pissy and moany. I hand to God, there were a ton of people online, you can guess who they were, that were upset because Adam Lambert was so flamboyantly gay and they were ruining Queen. And I'm like, do you not understand the irony of you being mad at a overly flamboyant gay man taking over?
Just like Freddie Mercury.
The lead singer of a group called Queen forgot. The man wore leather briefs and like a harness on stage. But you're upset that Adam Lambert is too flamboyantly gay.
Well, I think Adam Lambert too, man. That's one of the exceptions to the rule. Him and like the new Journey singer or newer, Arnel Pineda, is his name.
But you're missing my point.
Okay.
The new Journey singer was not known to anyone.
Exactly.
He's great. But it's not like he came from another band that was really popular. What I'm saying is, it never works. It rarely works. I'm not going to say never, because like you said, Paul Rodgers had a moment. Mm-hmm. It rarely works where you have a lead singer from another band.
Yeah, it's tough.
Go and take over another band, and then people accept that. Like, that's a really hard thing to do. Now, the Journey guy, they found that guy on YouTube or something.
He was a karaoke singer.
And Lambert was out there, but he was American Idol. He didn't really have an association with a band.
No.
So that's different.
Yeah.
No, they figured that out, though, when he was on American Idol. I still remember that's like...
Yeah, he sung...
Old.
Yeah, he was a big
Queen. He was really good.
Yeah.
He was the real-life version of that Mark Wahlberg movie, Rockstar.
Yeah.
Where they just found a fan that could sing and was like, hey, do you want to be our lead singer? And they're like, all right, let's go.
And that's, I think, how it works out. It will, Rob, to your point, it will never work out with other people. It's the unknowns that sound just like that guy.
Well, I'm trying to think of when it has worked. And I can't.
It's really hard.
Yeah, I don't think it's happened a lot is part of the problem.
No. Every now and then, like I said, I think it's easier when someone dies. Because you had... Leonard Skinner, you had AC/DC,
But they're not, but did they get, who did AC/DC get?
They got Bon Scott, and then they got, why can't I think of the lead singer of AC/DC now? My God.
Brian Johnson?
Yeah, Brian Johnson, with the little cabbie hat.
But where was he from? Again, not from another band that was.
That I don't know.
Well. We have accomplished nothing.
No, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
And we found out, don't be a jerk and run over someone's phone.
Because you know that somebody's pinging that phone and eventually he's going to come get it.
Yeah.
The nice thing would now in retrospect, I feel like an ass, because why didn't I just get out and pick it up and put it on the side of the road?
Or you could have picked
it up. I just didn't think anybody would run over.
You can't call someone from that, right?
Well, like, I'm not. Listen.
I'm
got things to do.
I'm
got shows to do. I'm out. But... I could have moved. I didn't think anybody would run over it.
No. Think again. There's a lot of jerks out there.
What's that quote from The Dark Knight? Some people just want to watch the world burn, Rob.
Yeah, apparently that was the guy behind me.
Yeah.
Today.
Be better than that guy behind, Rob.
Well, Oregon is Oregon, and USC is USC.
I learned nothing from that game. That was the Denny Green quote.
We are who we thought. They aren't. They are who we thought they were.
Boy,
we let them off the hook.
Is that the most misquoted quote that we all know?
Well, you kind of have to think about it.
But butcher, whatever Denny Green said about believing.
They are who we thought they were.
There you go.
That's it.
Yep. Both Oregon and USC.
And we let them off the hook.
Triple stamp, a double stamp, because that thing is exactly what I thought was going to happen in that game.
All right, we will start there. Coming up next here on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They are who we thought they were.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk, brought to you by Roto-Rooter on the Fan Sports Network.
Yeah, there it is, Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were. And then I think he says, and we let him off the hook!
Yeah.
And then I think he said, crown their ass!
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook!
Yeah, I just, look, I knew going into that game that USC was a pretty good team. And that USC was going to be able to score and throw the ball around a little bit. Didn't think they could play good enough defense. Don't think they play very good special teams. Don't think they're very disciplined. Don't think they're very tough. What was different in that? All of those things were
true.
That's
how it played out.
I mean, I had it like when I think the Notre Dame score was 35-24. And I said, I've seen this game before. They played Notre Dame. USC's good. They have advantage on the outside. They'll pick on the corners a little bit. The quarterback is good. He's not great. And Notre Dame will kind of bludgeon him. You know, and despite all the injuries, and by the way, those injuries went both ways. You know, Oregon sitting there crying about how, you know, that or saying that, oh, look at what we did with all their injuries. USC had it too. USC was down probably their three best defensive players. They were down a couple starting offensive linemen as well. They've lost, I think, their three scholarship running backs. This guy, they have King Miller, who's done a nice job. He's a walk-on. They couldn't run the ball at all. So, I mean, both sides were beat up. That's what I said. Just, I've seen this game before, and it was Notre Dame. And at no point in that game, I mean that, at no point did I think that USC was really a threat. I've watched every Oregon game, and there are definitely times. I thought there was times, and certainly the Iowa game. This is kind of like Wisconsin. Like Wisconsin was a 7-point game for a little bit, and it never felt like Wisconsin was a real threat. I felt that way about USC. Everything USC had to do was work. Like it was grinding, and I give USC credit. I actually think their defense. If you would have told me their defense was holding Oregon to about 4.5 yards a carry, and I think Oregon ran for like 160-ish yards. I would have said, if you're USC, you take that. I really would have. But you couldn't get timely stops. Dante Moore was great. He's 22 of 30. You gave up a special teams play. Your dumbass jumped over a field goal attempt for no reason. Cost yourself points there. And that was after Oregon gifted you it with the Malik Benson penalty, which took it from the 4, which probably would have been a touchdown, backed it up to a field goal.
All right.
I mean, that's just all of those things.
That's a lot. Yeah, we were all thinking the same thing. Yeah. I mean, it was like, whatever. But
yeah, whatever.
Well, I mean, it was. The game was.
I mean, Oregon is the way we want.
Oregon is Oregon, and USC is still USC. I kept thinking, you know, if Lincoln Riley were at LSU or Penn State or at Florida, is he turfed by now? Because I think he is.
I think the pressure would certainly be turned up because his best season was the first one, and then
he is now 0-7.
Yeah,
at USC. Versus teams that finish the season in the top 10.
And I believe he's 3-12-ish, somewhere around there, against teams in the top 25. I mean, we talked about it. His marquee win, like you asked going into this game what his marquee win was, and it's probably Iowa this year.
See, I think the Michigan game was.
Yeah, if you want to say Michigan.
Because they beat the crap out of Michigan.
Yeah.
And they looked good doing
it. And they bowed their back. So, and look, I'm not here to say that USC's garbage. USC's probably going to win 9 games this year. You're going to go 9-3, and it's the second best year they've had. I just, for when Lincoln Riley and Dan Lanning got hired at the same time, and Oregon was, I'd say Oregon was in any sort of trouble as a program, but you know, you had gone from Kelly to Helfrich, and then whatever the hell that thing was down there in South Florida, and then you got Cristobal, and Cristobal was okay, and then he leaves, and you're like, man, this is kind of a big hire, and you hire an unknown guy out of Georgia, and then Lincoln Riley comes in, who at the time was getting courted by the NFL.
Misfire, my bad.
And Lincoln Riley was taking
around over here.
Lincoln Riley was taking Oklahoma to the playoffs every year, and I just said, man, I really believed, if you would have asked me in that moment, who was about to kind of hit the accelerator and kind of claim the Pac-12 and now kind of the Big Ten, I wouldn't have said it was Oregon. I would have said it was USC. And it's funny to see where Oregon has gone since then and where Lincoln Riley. And I think a lot of that is simply due to the fact that Dan Lanning has flat out been a better program builder. He's been a better coach. He's been a better recruiter. And you could say he has better infrastructure, and I get that. But at the same time, dude, USC, get your ass together. Like, get it, you know, get it going.
USC, I just don't have any faith USC will ever get its stuff together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty clear that, like, you're right. It's like when the USC coach USC makes a big splashy hire and Oregon makes a less sexy hire.
Yeah.
That clear, you know, we're all still conditioned to think, oh, USC, here they come.
Yeah.
But there's something in the water at USC. They're not all tugging the same direction. They're not all rowing the boat the same way. Whereas at Oregon, they are.
Yeah.
And I think Oregon v. USC is a great example. I mean, like, maybe the best example in college football of when everyone is on the same page at a school, what you can do. And that's Oregon.
Yeah.
And USC has everything you need, but they're not all on the same page.
No.
And it's been a mess, and I say mess. They win, but it's just not been what they've expected it to be for the better part of 25 years now. So at what point do we just shift our expectations for USC? This is who they are. And by the way, Pat Forty brought up something that I thought was good.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, look, this is Lincoln Riley without an elite quarterback. I mean, if you think about all of his success, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and Caleb Williams, if he does not have an elite quarterback, this is about what you should expect.
Yeah. I think this is pretty a pretty fair comparison. To me, they're the Dallas Cowboys of college football. We talk a lot about them. They have, you know, traditional uniforms. They have great history, a rich past. They're, you know, America's team, or at least in USC's case, it's the West Coast brand that matters. And we assume because the brand matters that they're always going to be more interesting, or we're going to talk about them like they're real contenders. And they do a decent job of putting talent on the field. Let's not act like the Cowboys are lacking in star players. They, you know, Cowboys do a decent job of drafting, and they get guys that are big time players, and USC does it too. And yet, I mean, they have the best receiver in college football this side of Jeremiah Smith. And like you said, they get decent quarterbacks, and you know, they put guys on the field, but it all seems empty. It seems like a collection of very good players. Even when they had Caleb Williams, right? They had Caleb Williams and then a bunch of other guys that you're like, that's fine. They had Caleb Williams and they had Jordan Addison. Like those are their two guys. And the rest of it was like, oh, it's a decent collection. And that's the Dallas Cowboys. They lack in substance. And when you look at that game when they played Oregon, right? And we can go through position by position of who was out. Oregon was down 3 starting offensive linemen. USC was down 2 starting offensive linemen, right? Oregon was down 3 receivers. USC was down their 2 best defensive players and their best defensive end. And to me, that just boils down to depth. Because when the guys came in at Oregon, yeah, did you miss a beat? Sure. None of those guys are playing the way that the people in front of them are playing. But Oregon was okay. And I thought USC really struggled at those things. And I also think that USC never really addresses their concerns. These concerns that we're having about USC, these are 4 years old. When I look at Oregon last year that looked at their offensive line, and they said, we have 3 major defections. And if we want to be real players next year, we got to go fill these holes. And they went out and got arguably the 2 best tackles in the transfer portal. And you want to know what's sad? You know who Oregon's best offensive lineman is? It's USC's best offensive lineman. USC's best offensive lineman is playing guard for Oregon. You know, and that to me just speaks volumes about where USC is. And this is not a USC sucks, USC is garbage. No, USC is a good team. USC is better than Nebraska. They're better than Iowa. They're a 9-win team. There's nothing wrong with being a 9-win team.
Good little program.
But you know who that is? That's Wisconsin and it's Penn State.
Good
and that's,
program.
Again, if that's what you are and that's your expectation, cool.
Well, no, it's not.
But that's
we all know
at
that.
USC, that's not what they want to be.
Exactly. So I just wonder, I just don't know what it's going to take to get them over the hump. I mean, it's really wild. You know, I mean, Sark ended it himself. He was his own worst enemy.
Sure.
And they had to move on from Sark. But they had Lane Kiffin, and now all of a sudden Lane Kiffin's like Mr. Everybody wants him to be their head coach for whatever reason. Yeah. So Lane Kiffin was there.
Yeah.
And he did pretty good, but you fired him, you tarmacked him.
Yep.
Right? So what if I told you that the hottest guy in the coaching carousel right now is gonna be USC's coach? What if I told you that? He already was.
Yeah.
Okay. So that didn't work. Or at least they thought it didn't work. Maybe it would have. They would have just been patient.
The only thing you can
and
do...
And then after that, it was Helton, and that was a complete...
Yeah, that was no good.
I mean, he had some wins in there, but it fizzled.
He was Bo Pelini.
And then you go and get Lincoln Riley, which on paper looked like one of the best hires of the last 10, 15 years in college football. Man, you stole this guy. Didn't even think you could get him.
Yep.
And he hasn't done anything. So at what point does USC... I mean, I don't know what they do.
Well, it's a little at because I compared them to the Dallas Cowboys. But if you want a better comparison, because obviously NFL to college, they're Nebraska. It's Nebraska.
I'm fine with the comparison. I'm saying, what do you do?
Well,
like you just
honestly,
have to...
if you're USC, the best thing you can do is it appears that Lincoln Riley has acknowledged that the first 3 years of his program were a waste. And they needed to change the way he did things. And they changed the way they recruited. They got their NIL crap in place. They're putting together a really nice recruiting class. Depending on who you're talking to, it's a top three, top four class in the country. Some people say it's the top class. A lot of people saying. You did get back to winning 9 games this year. You have shown some resilience despite the injuries. And so, honestly, if you're USC, especially with the Lincoln Riley's buyout, which apparently is a gajillion dollars, it's a private school, so we don't really know. But the rumor is it's just astronomical. I think the best thing you can do is continue to apply pressure and hope that Lincoln Riley is – the changes that Lincoln Riley is making now, he should have made 4 years ago, but at least he's making them now. And I honestly think USC's best path forward is to cross your fingers, see this thing out for another 2 years – because Lincoln Riley is a good coach and Lincoln Riley can win. And I don't think I don't think you spending the money to get rid of him and bringing someone else in solves your problem.
Exactly. Because you've already done that 5 times.
Yes.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's obviously not the coach.
Yeah.
So what is it in the water at USC? Like they cannot figure it out. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
And this is what Penn State should have done. They should have stayed the course. And I think USC, if they're smart, and I don't know if they are.
I don't think they are.
Although they may not have the money to change courses, so this may be the benefit of all benefits, is I think you just have to give Lincoln Riley a couple more years and hope that the faith is rewarded.
All right, the fan text line can be reached at 503-864-6326. We'll read some of your texts. And back to Oregon. All that stands in the way of a home playoff game now for the Ducks is your Washington Huskies.
Yeah.
That's it.
Could be a good game.
In Seattle.
Yeah.
So we will get to that. Coming up next, here's Schultz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season. from Crimes of the Paranormal, Unsolved Murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fan text line 503-864-6326. Somebody said, honestly, that game felt like a Big Ten team versus a Pac-12 team. Sure did, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, like I said, I think it's easy to dismiss USC, and I get why. I was very unimpressed. I've watched USC a couple times this year. Very unimpressive. But unimpressive simply means that they're not an elite team. They're not bad. I think Washington's kind of the same thing. I thought Washington and USC were both going to be a little better this year.
Yeah, I feel like Oregon, though, I think that text is more of saying Oregon has sort of changed its identity.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. They brought in the SEC guy, the defensive SEC guy.
Yes.
And they've just recruited better in the trenches. Yeah. I mean, that's really what's happened. They've just gotten a lot tougher, and they can win games in multiple ways, whereas they didn't used to. Whereas USC, they ain't winning games in multiple ways. You know, they're going to have to outscore you.
Yeah, and you know, while I was watching, and this has kind of been the MO all year, like so much of their offense, I've never seen anyone throw more just kind of fades and go balls, especially like in the middle of the field. And Maiava kind of just, there's no zip to his ball. He just kind of, the USC's offense is, when we get in trouble, we're just going to throw it up and we believe our receiver is better than your DB, which is fine. If you want to throw those balls in the red zone, if you want to throw them, outside the numbers, I get it, one-on-one, but when you're throwing those balls in the middle of the field, or at least on the hash, when Oregon is in a too high safety look, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback want to throw an interception more. In fact, I tweeted it out. I was like, dude, there is an interception coming in 3, 2, and 1. And like, you could feel it. And then like, as soon as it was over, like, you're like, he wants to throw another one. And they just kept doing that over and over. And that's the part that I don't get, because USC has really talented receivers and they have a very good quarterback. And at times, and Lincoln Riley is a really smart offensive guy, and yet at times their offense is the most rudimentary thing that I've ever seen. And then other times they get really cute with it. Like, they can't run the ball at all. I mean, in any shape or form. And they got down there like on that drive where they were going in it was either late in the third quarter or in the fourth. And they ran like that weird kind of, they ran like a little end round and then run the ball and it like went nowhere. It's like, okay, you've got one thing that's been working for you, and that's basically trying to get your receivers one-on-one on the outside. And here you are in the biggest drive of the game, and now you decide to get cute and try to do some weird trick run plays when you haven't been able to hold up against the Oregon defensive front all game. It just makes no sense. At times I wonder if Lincoln Riley is just, it's like he's lost his fastball. It's like watching Felix Hernandez and like at the end of his career and being like, what's wrong with that guy?
Well, but is it possible that Pat Forty was right in that Lincoln Riley, this is just Lincoln Riley without an elite quarterback? He had an elite quarterback his entire time at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And that masks a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And as you said, no run game too. You can't set up the pass without the run, man.
No,
I think their quarterback had more yards rushing at one point than their running back.
They didn't run. I mean, honestly, if you want one difference in the game, and there's a lot of them, I just go down to one team could run the ball and one team couldn't.
And that's where it's the Big 12 versus Pac 12 thing comes in.
And
I'm sorry, Big 10 versus Pac 12.
And like, if you're going to say what teams that Oregon now, and Washington fan isn't going to want to hear this, and USC fan isn't going to want to hear it, and rightfully so. 2 years ago, by the way, Washington played for a national championship. So it's not like these things are permanently there. And Kalen DeBoer looked like he had Washington rolling. We'll see what Jed Fish does. They're having a nice recruiting class up there if they can keep him around. But it does feel, and some people may disagree with this, but it feels like when you're talking about comparables, like neighborhoods, right? Who does your house compare to? And I don't think Oregon is quite there yet, but I understand, to me, to their neighborhood is now Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas and programs like that. And it feels like USC and Washington, they're in a nice neighborhood, but it doesn't have the hillside views. It's a neighborhood below. And I think that bothers a lot of people. But I do think that when you look at the overall talent, you look at the resources, I think that's the truth of the matter. Yeah. And it doesn't mean it has to be that way forever. It doesn't mean that you can't have special years. I mean, you talk about an elite quarterback. Washington had that year where they had three NFL receivers, they had two NFL tackles, and they had Michael Penix. Oh, and by the way, a pretty good back, too. Like, they had a squad that happened to all get there at the same time. They were able to keep them together. And that Washington team was a buzzsaw, and Oregon couldn't beat them. But now you look at it, and maybe Damon Williams ends up being that guy down the road. But once, like, that's why I thought of the Lincoln Riley thing. Once Caleb Williams left, USC has just kind of been meh. And once Penix left, Washington has been a little meh. And both of those schools, by the way, are going to end up with nice seasons. But it's not the seasons that you're hoping for. It's not the seasons that you're expecting. And I think there's still a lot of work to be done.
Probably
whereas
no bitch.
The standard, I think, at Oregon now has been set. He's lost, what, 7 games in the 4 years he's been there?
Another text also. Phil Knight, because we were comparing the the Ducks program and the USC program. He says, come on, there's a reason the swoosh bags have done what they've done.
But
yes, including hiring the right guy, but it all goes back to PK.
Well, obviously it goes back 30 years to that, but you're telling me that USC, when NIL first launched, you know who was one of the first schools to jump on this? And remember, they put together their collective and they were doing videos, and everyone said that USC, in the land of NIL, everyone wanted to be in Los Angeles because this was going to be the land of fame and fortune. And it didn't happen. It took 4 years to USC to get their ass together and kind of get it going. So, yeah, I mean, look, having Phil Knight is an advantage that every school in the country wants.
Of course.
But for USC to use that as an excuse for why you haven't lived up to it, okay, then where is so? And this is what Alabama, Georgia, Texas, all those other schools, do they get to do the same thing and be like, well, we don't have Phil Knight? You're USC, for God's sakes.
Right.
Have some pride.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's a pro-USC person as much as it is anti-Ducks.
Yeah.
Because that's the quintessential go-to.
Sure.
To try to tear down the Ducks, because it's very hard to tear them down otherwise, other than they haven't won a championship.
Yeah.
And it's just that, well, if we had Phil Knight, it's just, but, you know, I think that people that use that argument, while obviously true, and Oregon will admit that Phil Knight has been an enormous piece of the puzzle for them. There's no question about that. Everyone's on the same page there, as if that's some sort of bad thing. Like, all schools have rich donors. Now, Phil, a little bit different, very unique. Now, there was another school that had a rich donor that loved football, and that was T. Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. He has since passed. Phil has not, so maybe that's the difference. But he never got Oklahoma State where he wanted it to go, and he was dumping, comparatively how much versus Phil he was dumping in, but dumping in hundreds of millions of dollars.
Supposedly, T. Boone spent a bill.
So, I mean, yeah, exactly. So it's not all just about having one guy, and it's that simple. It's just not. Like, you don't think USC doesn't have rich donors? Of course they have rich donors.
Now,
they're not Phil Knight, but I guarantee you they have deeper pockets amongst a group of people than Oregon. Oregon's just top-heavy with one big wig guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not just about spending money. Like, how often do we have to watch sports, professional sports, and I guess to some extent in college, where the biggest spenders don't win?
Yeah.
How often do you need to see that for you to understand that it's more than just about spending? Not that we're not discrediting that, you know, entirely, but good grief.
Yeah. Well,
so Oregon, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just feel like Oregon, they have capitalized on the Phil Knight, Phil Knight's passion. They have capitalized on that about as well as any. I can't think of another school that would have capitalized on donations.
Well, and there's a difference. If I had $1 billion and I donated it to BYU, and Phil has $1 billion and he donates it to Oregon, T. Boone donates $1 billion to Oklahoma. The difference is Oklahoma State. Excuse me. The difference is neither me nor T. Boone Pickens run the greatest marketing and apparel company that the world has ever known. And, you know,
It's a unique situation.
It's a unique situation. And you can be bitter, but you are right when you talked about the money aspect of it. And this is what I'll say about it. It's like, what? All scotch is whiskey, not all whiskey is scotch, right? You all money is, you need money in order to succeed. You cannot win in college football without resources and money. But having money doesn't guarantee you success. Government is another way, right? Like, how many times do we talk about that we keep raising taxes, but we do nothing with it? You can piss away a lot of money. Texas A&M, up until recently, may have been the best example of this. Texas A&M has more money than they know what to do with, and they just flounder it like nobody else. And it never gets them anything. Now they hired the right guy. All of a sudden, they got it rolling a little bit. SMU's trying to do this right now. SMU's trying to spend their way. So
Texas Tech,
you need money in this world of college football, but having it doesn't guarantee you squat.
Yeah, and I just think that over time, I mean, come on, man. If you've been in Oregon any length of time, you know how long it's taken to build Oregon.
Yeah.
And this has been
30 years.
Dude, this has been a 30 to 40-year process.
Yeah.
And there are so many people other than Phil Knight.
Yep.
That are in addition to Phil Knight that are involved. So I just, having seen all that up close, it kind of bothers me when people just go straight to the lowest common denominator. Oh, Phil Knight, and that's it. It's such a lazy argument. It's, you know, there's truth to it, of course, but it's just, there's so much more to it than that. And I just find that to be quintessential sports talk. Just dumb it down to one thing that makes me feel better about my program not being able to keep up with Oregon.
Yeah. That's why you can point out that the guy next door to you that has a, you know, a better house and, you know, a hotter wife and all that, you can come up with something. Well, his dad gave it to him or, you know, whatever. There's always a reason why you're not where someone else is. And
but if
that's,
you,
that's human nature.
40 years ago, and again, somebody else texted and they were right. They said, you know, it's worth looking back pre-Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
USC, Pete Carroll was kind of the anomaly.
And he was like their fifth choice, by the way.
Pete Carroll came in and did something at USC that not many have done. Now, they had championships before that. But if you look at USC over time, Pete Carroll stands out. It's not like it was just success after success after success after success, and then Pete Carroll came in.
Mm-hmm.
They were struggling, and like you said, they couldn't find a coach.
No.
Nobody wanted Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was like their fifth choice.
Yep.
And he came in there, and he was a hero for however long that went. What was that, like maybe
10 years? Yeah, like a 10-year run, and it was one of the best 10-year runs.
Now they're back to the old U.S. So, you know,
by the way, can I add that, not that I'm not discounting anything that Pete Carroll did. It was amazing. But if you want to throw the money thing, you realize why USC, one of
money.
The big reasons, yeah, money, in the fact that they were paying everybody. So just.
And then somebody else said, people said the same thing about Michigan for a very long time before Jim Harbaugh was able to turn that around.
Yep.
It's right. And it's like, what did Harbaugh do?
Yeah. And by the way, it took Harbaugh a long time at Michigan.
Okay, we'll carry this over and finish it up when we get back. Also, Oregon. Washington.
Hmm.
Did you know they're playing this weekend?
Yeah.
It's going to be a good game. Say some.
I think so.
Then,
I think it's a better challenge than USC. I really
we'll
do.
See. That's coming up next on the... Okay. Do you have the answer?
I do.
To my very important trivia question?
So it was... it's EPA, right? So J.J. McCarthy now ranks 851 out of 852.
I thought you said 580.
Sorry. 851.
Whoa.
851 out of 852 in EPA, expected points per attempt, right?
Yeah. Okay.
That's a metric. That's a metric. Whatever. It's one of the advanced statistics that a lot of people like. I think like war in baseball for quarterbacks, EPA. Qualified passers since the year 2000. So I thought it was 500 and whatever. It is
850.
Not. 851 people have qualified.
You said he's second to last.
He is second to last.
In EPA?
Yes. The
worse?
Worse. And you know him. One of the biggest busts.
Oh, high pick.
High pick. He might have been the number one pick. Top three pick. Tremendous bust. Like, all-timer.
Glorious bust.
Glorious.
All-timer.
Some say they've never seen a bust like this. I mean, it's amazing.
Can you give us an era?
Couch? Well, Couch wasn't number one, was he?
He was.
I think Couch was one to Cleveland.
Was it Tim Couch?
He ate and drank himself out of the league.
Oh, Russell.
Jamarcus Russell.
Oh my God!
In EPA, JJ McCarthy. I mean, it's a real problem in Minnesota. Like,
the hell,
yeah. There's a difference between, you know, and you don't want to write anyone off early on. And we've seen some resurgence from different quarterbacks. There is real problems right now in Minnesota because you're with a quarterback whisperer who's proven that he can do this. There's certainly elite weapons there. I know there's been some injuries along the offensive line. But to rank 851 out of 852, and the only one behind you is Jamarcus Russell.
Yikes.
Maybe that 9 video and the meditating under the wrong goalposts, maybe we need to switch some of that up.
All right, we've got to take a break because we're running behind, but we'll wrap up our Oregon conversation coming up next, then we'll move on to Stack Watch, where we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.